are going to talk about here this morning and read some verses, just two verses in Genesis, Genesis 22 and verse 17. And I love this verse, and I used this verse a few weeks ago in a service. And this verse is, it's powerful. That in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, when you read those two verses within the context of what's going on, this is the account of Abraham taking his only son Isaac up to the mountaintop, and there willing to lay down his life to sacrifice his only most beloved son Isaac there on the altar. But he was willing to do it. And I believe that in his heart, it was already done. But God, of course, provided a ram in the thicket. And he named that place Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. And we know that the Lord is a wonderful provider. And then this promise that's from our text here today, that in blessing I will bless thee. And it's as if the Lord is saying, while you're being blessed, I will bless you even more. I'll just multiply your blessings in your life. Now, we think of blessings, and that term is kind of thrown around. People will say, bless you, or the Lord bless you. And it's just a phrase that's used a lot of times without a whole lot of thought. We don't give much consideration to it. But in the Scripture, it's an important word. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing upon your life, God's blessing upon your family, upon your marriage. It's an important thing. More than 460 times the word is used, or the phrase is used, describing God's blessing upon his people and or his people blessing others. And that's really what this text says, that you're going to be blessed, and then out of you will be more blessing that will come, because and of course it's talking about the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, because out of your lineage is going to come the Messiah, Jesus, and the whole earth is going to be blessed because of him. Because you have obeyed my voice. I think we all recognize we need God's blessing in our families. We need God's blessing in our homes. And in times such as we're living in right now, we desperately need God's blessing and God's favor upon each one of us. You may have seen this on a plaque. You may even have this on a plaque in your house. I've seen it before. It says, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Have you welcomed him into your home? Have you welcomed the Lord into your household, into your family? Is he that unseen guest at every meal? Is he that silent listener to every conversation in your household? I hope that you are considering the fact this morning, if you want God's blessing upon your family, that you are willing to welcome him into your household. Now, blessing is not something that it just happens because someone says, God bless you. The blessing of the Lord all through the Scripture, as is the case with Abraham, as it was the case in Noah, and different ones of great men and women of God, they were blessed because of certain acts and actions, certain decisions that they made. They were blessed because of their willingness to do what the Lord called them to do. The Bible says that Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That he saw, the Father foresaw the potential danger, and he protected his family. He prepared the ark for the saving of his house. Sure, he was obeying the Lord in building that ark. He preserved the world, and all the animals were all preserved in the ark. But the Bible says that in Noah's heart, if I understand this scripture, that Noah recognized, I kind of believe with all those many, many decades of working, when, you know, with ridicule and mockery and all the things that he experienced, no doubt it was the fact that he believed that he was working to save his family. Sure, he was working to obey God, but he recognized this is the only hope for my family. And I want to take care of them and preserve them and bless them. I think every father, every mother, every grandparent, you want to make sure that your family is blessed. You want to know with certainty that they have the blessing of the Lord upon them. So there are certain steps that you can take. And the first thing you need to do is you need to invite him into your life, invite him into your home. I know that may be oversimplifying things, but actually you can't expect that God is going to come in and bless your family and bless your household unless you have first of all understood what happens whenever just one member of a family gets saved. I've heard people many times say, I'm the only one in my family that's serving God. Nobody else is saved. Almost, bemoaning the fact that they're the only person in their household or their family that's saved. Well, I want you to know that if you're the only person in your household or in your family that's saved, that salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your house. And the greatest possible potential for them to be saved is because you have been saved and you're that one lone person in your family. So your siblings can be influenced because you're a Christian. Your parents can be influenced to serve the Lord because salvation has come to your house. Or other members of your family can be saved because you have been saved. Remember the story of the little short tax collector, Zacchaeus, who climbed up into a tree, which showed that he was interested in the things of God. He wanted to know more about Jesus. There was already a work going on in his mind, in his heart, an interest in spiritual things. Because the Bible says that he climbed up into that tree so he could see Jesus. And he knew he was coming, and he wanted to be able to see what was going on. And so Zacchaeus is there in the tree. Jesus stops right in the middle of the great crowd of people, sees him up in the tree, and tells him, "Come down. I want you to come down. I'm going to go home with you today." And the Bible says that Zacchaeus immediately began to, even though there were around him those that were complaining because he was a sinner, a tax collector, why would he go home with him? He's a sinner and a tax collector. But the Bible says that Zacchaeus said, "No, I want to show fruits of my heart that's truly being changed." And he did just that. He said, "I'm willing to sell my goods and to restore fourfold those that I've taken advantage of." Can you imagine what people were thinking whenever they heard this sinner, this tax collector saying, "I want to restore them fourfold for what I have stolen from them"? And when Jesus heard that, he said, "Salvation's already come to this house. Salvation has come to this house." And the potential of one person in a family coming to the Lord is the beginning of blessing for a family. Amen. If just one person, I've known of cases where just one child would be saved out of a family, and that child was so truly born again that it affected their whole household and their whole family. Actually, I was raised up in that similar type situation with my own mother who became a Christian as just a young child, influenced her sister, influenced her parents and various ones in her family. Down through the years, salvation came to her house when she was a young girl. I've been influenced, and even all of us here today are feeling the effect of salvation coming to one person. Praise God for what can happen when salvation comes to your home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember in the scripture, whenever the death angel was going to pass over all of the households of Egypt. It was only those that were inside of their homes, and the door was shut, and the blood was on the doorpost and on the mantle. Everywhere else, it was the curse of death that was brought to every family and every home. Because the blood was applied to that home was saved from the curse and was blessed with the feast and the privileges that all that was provided for them because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I made mention the other day in one of the services about Obed-Edom whenever the ark was taken to his house. You remember the story whenever those tried to steady the ark that had been placed on a new cart. And whenever they all fell dead, the ark was then taken to the household of Obed-Edom. It stayed there for 3 months. The Bible says that the whole time that the ark was there, that his house was blessed. All of his household was blessed. When the presence of God is there, when salvation comes to your house, then there is the potential for blessing. Mother, if there's any reason why, other than your own spiritual needs, moms, give your heart to the Lord so that your family can be blessed to know God. Fathers, serve the Lord so the rest of your household can experience the blessing of the Lord. And all the time that the ark was in Obed-Edom's house, everybody was blessed. The household was blessed. And I want you to know that wherever you are, if you're a Christian, if you're the only Christian on your job, your workplace is blessed because you're there. Amen. If you're serving the Lord and you're that one lone influence, that place is blessed because you are there because of the gospel. The ark was there and it represented the power of God. It represented the presence of God. It represented the supernatural working of God's power, the word of the Lord. And they were blessed because of the presence of God in their home. For too often it's the case that our homes are everything else but a place where the presence of God feels welcome. Amen. Our lives should be the witness. And wherever we go, we should provide a blessing. We should bless that place because we know Jesus Christ. Remember the story of Jacob, who's down there working for his uncle Laban. The whole time that he's down there, the scripture says that Laban said later, when he was wanting to leave, that Laban says, "My household has been blessed because you are here. Everything is increased because you are here. My cattle and everything, my whole household has experienced blessing." This is what he said: "For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Amen. The blessing of the Lord comes to your home and to your family because you are serving the Lord. I just want to encourage you, if you're that one lone person in your family that's serving the Lord, do not be discouraged. Understand that salvation has come to your house. And the potential for the blessing of the Lord is there because you can be that one that can touch the lives of all of your family. Hallelujah. Another example of this is when Joseph was stolen away down into Egypt, sold into slavery. The Bible says there was an Egyptian by the name of Potiphar that took him into his house. He took Joseph in just thinking he was a slave, but God, the hand of God was upon Joseph. Joseph was where he was because God was working even in adverse circumstances. The Bible says that Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him. He made him overseer of his house. All that he had, he put in his hand. He gave him all of his household and gave him authority over it all. It says, "And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Amen. I'm telling you, the first step to the blessing of the Lord in your household or your family or your extended family is just you getting saved. You truly becoming born again. When salvation comes to your house, then there is the potential for blessing and the beginning of God's blessing upon your life. Amen. Another step is the step of obedience. To live a life of obedience. If you want to know God's blessing in your life, learn to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Learn the scriptures and be obedient to the word of the Lord. Abraham was greatly blessed, as we read in the text. He was blessed in such an amazing way that he was blessed while he was being blessed. Multiplied blessings that were upon him. And so the Bible says that the whole beginning of his relationship with God was one of hearing his voice and obeying the voice of the Lord. Even though he's in a heathen land, even though his heritage and his family and everyone else are pagans and far from God, the Bible says that Abraham heard the voice of the Lord telling him to get out of your country, get out from your kindred and from your father's house, and you go to a land that I am going to show you. Can you imagine the faith that it took to obey the voice of the Lord? He said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And by the way, if you want God's blessing upon your life, hopefully it will be so that you will become a channel of God's blessing. So that you understand that as God blesses your life and works in your life, and that he wants to use you as a channel of God's blessing. And he said, if you'll obey my voice, then I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Everywhere you go, you are going to be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Praise God. What an amazing promise that came to him. You know, the ultimate test in our life is the test of obedience. Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Are you willing to obey the word of the Lord? You see, we live in a world that has become so far removed from the word of God that now just to live and obey the word of God is to put yourself in a place of criticism and ridicule. Just to live out the principles of the word of God, it puts you in a place of ridicule and rejection. But the Lord has called us to be a people who know the voice of the Lord, who are sensitive to the voice of the Lord, that we're a people of God's word. We know what the Bible says, and we pay attention to it, and we are willing to obey his word. Just as Abraham did whenever he, in our text, he climbed up that mountain, he took his son, he was willing to lay down his beloved son to sacrifice him. It was this great test of obedience. Do you understand that some of the greatest blessings in your life come when you are willing to pass the test of obedience? When you're willing to do what the Lord is calling you to do. To be a person of the word, to be a person who hears the voice of God, obeys the voice of the Lord, and puts him to the test in obeying his voice. The Bible says that immediately after that he passed the test, and God had provided the lamb for that sacrifice on Mount Moriah, that's when God pronounces this blessing. In blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. And the wonderful promise of God's blessing upon his life came because he was willing to do the hard thing. He was willing to pass the test, to do what God was calling him to do. I know we read that story, and it's one of the great Old Testament stories. But personalize that story. Just think about the thing that means the most to you. What is it that's the most precious to you? The most valuable thing in all of your life? The thing that's most treasured in your life? Do you know that oftentimes that's the thing that God wants? That's the thing that God demands, because he wants to put you to the test to see if you're willing to do what He's asking you to do. So if you want God's blessing, first of all, invite salvation into your household. Get saved. Be a born-again Christian and live for the Lord. And then secondly, live a life of obedience. Obey the voice of the Lord. Live out the Word of God. And live contrary to the ways of this world. And understand that as long as we live as Christians in this world, we're always going to be at odds with the ways and the thinking and the philosophy of this world. We're never going to be in step with this world. Amen. Walk in obedience to the Lord. The third thing is that God, if you want God's blessing in your family, put Him first. Put God first. Above all, put Him first. You'll see the principle of the first all through the Scripture. As a matter of fact, it would take me several messages to go through all of the verses that deal with the principle of the first. Starts back in the Old Testament, Exodus, chapter 13, in verse 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. This is what God says. It is mine. It belongs to me. It is mine. The first belongs to the Lord. It's a principle you'll see all through the Scripture. Actually, 16 different times in the Scripture, it reaffirms that the firstborn of the flock, the firstborn belong to the Lord. It was His. And then in Exodus 23 in verse 19, this principle is reaffirmed. The first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Notice it says the first of the first fruits. The first fruits, where does it belong? It belongs in the house of the Lord. The first of the first fruits is to be brought to the house of the Lord. Why? It belongs to the Lord. What's the whole lesson that's being taught from the Old Testament all the way through, even in the New Testament, of the first? God wants to be first in your life. And if you really want God's blessing upon your life, then you make Him first. Amen. In everything, He's first. More important than anything, more important than your family, your job, your possessions, your house, anything, God is first. God is first. And if you want God's favor and blessing upon your life, then you follow the principle of God must be first. The principle of the firstborn, the principle of the first fruits. Proverbs 3 and 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Amen. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Whenever you make God first, then you can expect the blessing of the Lord. Now, our motive is not to do that, to give so that we will be blessed. We do it because we want to obey the voice of the Lord, and because in our heart we want to put Him first. Amen. That's why that your tithe belongs to the Lord. It's to be brought into the storehouse. It's to be brought to the house of the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. You'll see this principle all throughout the Word of God. God wants the first. Whenever the children of Israel were going in to take the promised land, Jericho was that first city that they came to. It's the only city that they were commanded, don't take of the riches, don't take of the wealth, leave it alone. Don't take it. Why? It belonged to the Lord. It was the first city of all of the wonderful inheritance. You'll read, as you read through the stories of the different conquests of different territories and cities all throughout the promised land, that the Lord allowed them to plunder and to take all the wealth of all of the promised land, but Jericho belonged to the Lord. And whenever Achan decided to steal some of those gold wedges and take some of those garments and hide them, then he brought judgment and a curse down upon his family and upon his home, his household, and they all died a tragic death as a testimony to the fact that God wants that which is first. Amen. The first fruits of your increase. So however you are increased, whenever you are increased. Amen. Even now, the important thing is the whole spirit of the tithe. The tithe is not a law that's laid down upon you and a burden that's laid down upon you that I have to do this. As a matter of fact, if you are doing tithing out of a heart that is, if you're giving grudgingly, without a desire and a love for God, then you're probably wasting your time and your money. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. And you give it to the Lord because it's a statement every week. Lord, you're the one that's provided for me. You're the one that's taking care of me. And so before I buy groceries or gasoline or anything else, Lord, you're first. You're first. And I put my trust and my confidence in you, Lord. Malachi chapter 3 is the most famous verses dealing with this whole principle of the first fruits or the tithe. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now herewith. Again, there's the test of obedience. And now there's the test of the first that you bring to the Lord. Prove me now. Put me to the test. And see, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. That's okay with me. Amen. It's all right if people say, you're that guy that's blessed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed of the Lord. Put him first in your life. The principle of the first obviously pertains to our increase. Amen. You say, well, I thought we were supposed to pay tithe on our earning. Well, that's, the Bible says, on your increase. So if somebody walks up and gives you $500, I believe you've been increased. Amen. Amen. I didn't earn that. Doesn't say anything about what you earned. It says how you have been increased. And whenever you're increased, in whatever way that you're increased, then you remember, God, you're the one that's favored me. You're the one that's providing for me. And I bring that to you, Lord, as a reminder, week after week, that you're the one that takes care of me. You're the one that provides for me and blesses me in so many wonderful ways. Now, some say, that's all Old Testament. That's Old Testament. It's interesting that right in this very chapter, that the Lord includes this verse, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. I am the Lord, I change not. But I think now too often that people talk about the tithe and they're, God really doesn't need your money. God needs your heart and you need his blessing.
That's right.
Amen. You need the blessing of the Lord upon your life. And that's the reason why that you, when you get the whole principle of the first, then you're going to want to give the first part of your day to the Lord, the first part of the week to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is the Lord's day. Give it to the Lord. Don't make this a day like any other day. Make this a special day. Make this a day that's holy unto the Lord. Don't do everything on Sunday like you do every other day. Make it a holy day, a day that you honor the Lord. It's the first day of the week. It's like your tithe. You give this day to the Lord. It's a good day to be restored physically. It's a good day to spend time in the house of God and with the Word of God and with even in ministry, reaching out to people and touching the lives of people. Make it a holy day. Make it the Lord's day. Also, in the spirit of the first fruits. Amen. First hours of your day, first day of the week. Oftentimes at the beginning of the year, we encourage the church to set aside times, extra times of prayer and fasting. Many churches go into long extended fast in the month of January just because they want to give that first month of the year as a special offering of the first unto the Lord. Amen. Now, there's a lot more that I could say about this, but I want to remind you that your family can be blessed when you learn these principles of obedience and putting God first in your life. Amen. Amen. Young people, boys and girls, you mow your yards. I used to mow 6 or 7 yards every week when I was about 10, 11 years old, and my mother had taught me, now 10% of that goes to the Lord. Now, I know when you're getting $3 or $4 for a yard and you've sweated out and you've got that money in hand, 40 or 50 cents sounds like a lot of money when you have to give it all up. But it was taught, encouraged, how important it was. Put God first, put God first. And so when you get that little job, young person, babysitting and making $10, $20, $30, you're not under the law of the tithe. It's the spirit of the tithe that I want to put God first in my life. And so I remember that God has honored me and he's blessed me and he's given to me. So I put him first in my life, in all that I do. Praise God. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your family. And he will. He will. Welcome him into your home. Amen. That the Lord not be a stranger in your family, into your household. But he is that unseen guest. He's that one that's always there. The presence of the Lord in your family, in your household. Oh, what a needed thing in all of our families. Amen. What a needed thing. And then learn how to obey God. Learn how to be sensitive to God so that you can experience his blessing upon your life. Abraham was blessed and blessed and blessed. He was getting blessed while he was being blessed. And it's an incredible thing to consider that God wants to bless his people. And I believe that families, God wants to bless you. Josh, God will bless you for sacrificing and coming to the house of the Lord when you wore out and worked all night long. God will bless you for sacrifice. God blesses us for obedience. He blesses us for our willingness to put him first in our life. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday. He also blesses us because we welcome his Holy Spirit into our lives and into our families. Amen. To be filled with the Spirit, to be directed and led of the Spirit of God. Oh, the need to experience God's blessing in our homes, in our families. Now, none of this means that you won't have trials, that you won't have disappointments, that your family won't be attacked. It will be. I don't know of a family. Good Christian families come under fire, come under the attack of the enemy. I'm not saying that everything is going to go easy for you and that you'll never have trouble or problems. I just want you to know that God has promised blessings if you'll obey his word. God has promised blessings if you'll put him first in your life. Put him first in your life. Praise God. I've told this before and I'm going to tell it again. So that's all right. I have an uncle who's gone to heaven now. He's a very godly man. He committed himself to never work on Sunday. And he worked at a job and his job changed. And they decided, you're going to have to work on Sunday sometimes. So he went to them. He prayed a lot about it. And he went to his boss and he said, I just want to let you know that I'm a Christian. I go to church. every Sunday, and this is a conviction of mine to not work on Sunday. And so, but the boss was very hard toward him and said, sorry, everyone's going to face, everyone has the same responsibilities. And so he prayed more about it, and finally he decided, I have to maintain my conviction. And so he quit his job, and he'd worked there for many, many years, and it was a very high-paying job. He quit his job, and he took a much lower-paying job that didn't require him to work on Sunday. And he worked at this other job for over a year. And one day, he's out in some place of business, and he runs into his old boss. And his boss says, what are you doing now? Where are you working? And he told him. And he said, well, would you consider coming back to work? He said, oh, yeah, I'd be glad to come back, but I, you know, my conviction is I can't work on Sunday. And the boss said, it's okay, we'll work it out. Don't worry about it. He was such a good worker and a faithful laborer that he said, come on back. And so even though he went for that entire year with a lot less pay, God honored him, and he maintained his conviction, and he put the Lord and his conviction first. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Put him first in your life. Amen. You want God's blessing? Put God first. Amen. Father, thank you. I thank you, Lord, for every family that's represented here today. And ask you, Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, that you have great things that you are wanting to do in our lives. We know, Lord, that you have promised blessing upon blessing. Multiplied blessings for your people. And Lord, we experience that and we're grateful for that. I just ask, Lord, that today you would stir the hearts of people. And Lord, if there are those in this service that are not serving you, that they would begin with inviting you, Lord, into their home by just turning their life over to you today. Lord, for those of us who've served you for a long time, would you help us to be more sensitive to your voice? Help us to be more attentive to your word, more obedient to your word, so that we experience your blessing upon our lives. Lord, we want blessing in our families, our marriages, our households. Help us, Lord, to put you first in all that we do, never forsaking the things of God. Lord, would you just speak today to the hearts of people in this service? And Lord, that there will be a definite work of your Spirit accomplished today, we pray. In the name of Jesus.